Hebrews chapter 7, verse 20. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without an oath, but he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, "The Lord has sworn, and he will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." Because of his oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always intercedes for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. That's good news, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit has recorded these words for us to study, for us to be encouraged, for us to be admonished and corrected, to know who Jesus is, to know what he does for us, for those that put their faith in him. And so we come to your word again, anticipating encouragement, anticipating being enlightened and understanding Jesus, seeing him a little better, and therefore living like he is in our world for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Who wants to be saved? A lot of people don't think they need to be saved. You say, are you saved? Saved from what? But when you realize that we are sinners, and people say, well, let's just tell the good news, but you got to know the bad news first, so then the good news is really good news. When we realize that we are sinners about to meet a holy God, how do we get rid of our sin? And we try a lot of different ways. I'll be really, really good. I'll be a better person. It's the new year. I'll keep all, well, at least some of my resolutions. And I'll be a better person. Well, everybody has a different way, a different idea of how they could make God accept them in the meeting. But wouldn't it be better to ask God, hey, God, what do you require? And so this passage tells us some very interesting truths. First of all, we saw last week that Christ is the guarantee of a better covenant. God took an oath. Why does God need to swear? Is God not good enough when he says something? Isn't his word as good as his word? Yes, it is. But remember this, when God makes an eternal transaction, he chose to do it with an oath. And who did he swear by? By himself. Our salvation, the new covenant, is valid. It is guaranteed. It is guaranteed, backed by God, not by Montgomery Ward. And so, we saw in verse 20 through 23, God doesn't change his mind. Christ died, Christ rose, Christ paid the debt for how many of your sins? All of your sins. He is the guarantee. It is backed by God. And the old priests were temporary. They died. But Christ has eternal, indestructible life. In verse 24, look at that. He lives how long? Forever. The old priest died. Temporary. Christ lives forever. I made a big mistake recently. I went to the mall. I do not like that. But it was Christmas time and you've got to do what you got to do. And I went into Sears at Coronado Mall. Do you know what's there?
Oh, you've been there too, huh?
Sears is gone! Had 50% sale. And then we had like 10 items. They're closing down. Sears! I mean, that's... Sears has always been there. Even the catalog. You go to Lowe's and they're selling all the Craftsman stuff. Oh, but Christ is always going to be there. Indestructible life. And so we began looking at verse 23. Now there have been many priests since death. We began looking at this last week. Death prevented them from continuing on. But because Christ lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede them completely. I don't know if many of you carry a King James Bible, but if you look at your King James, it says to the uttermost. He is able to save to the uttermost. How far is the uttermost? There's no end to it. Completely. Permanent. Can't be changed. And it doesn't need to be changed. As we said last week, Christ is the last high priest. There is no other. There's not going to be another one. Not other one is needed because Christ saves completely. Not halfway, and then you do the rest. God doesn't say, I'll meet you halfway, and then I'll save the first part of your life, and then you take care of the rest. Christ saves completely. It is only Christ and Christ only. Now, how do we learn about God? How do we get to know God? People say, well, I learn about God, and it's true, you can learn about God in nature. You can look at creation and see God's greatness and His glory. You can look at the stars, and the stars, as Scripture tells us, declare the glory of God. Well, you can even look at birds tweeting in the tree and know something about God. But that only takes you so far. You can only learn about salvation, the gospel, the good news, God's special revelation in His Word. Where else could you learn that? Nowhere else. People say, well, I find God at the beach. I find God at the lake. And I know a few people who say, I find God at the golf course. That really is, if you think about it, a superficial claim. Oh, you can see the glory of God, but you can't possibly find salvation because you shot a good round of golf. You can't possibly find out how your sins are paid for. You can't understand the grace of God, and you surely can't. Look at verse 19, draw near to God. And know how to draw near to God through creation. But look at verse 25. Therefore, Christ is able to save completely those who come to God through Him because He always lives to intercede for them. There's only one way to be saved. Completely, eternally, to the uttermost. And that's if you come near through Christ. That's it. Now, let's look at that verse. That is a beautiful verse, and it tells us a lot about our salvation. I told you last week, it's sort of like John 3:16, the summary of the gospel. So let's ask some questions. What is the basis of our salvation? Does that verse answer that question? Therefore, He is able. What is the basis of our salvation? In Christ, Christ's priesthood, which is permanent, which is eternal. All those great truths we are learning in the book of Hebrews, it is in Christ. What is the power of our salvation? What saves you? Notice again verse 25. Therefore, who is able? He is able. It is Christ's ability to save you. Do you in yourself have the ability to save yourself? No. Other priests, all through the Old Covenant, all through the Old Testament, did not have that power. Think about it. If you were a priest in the Old Testament, did you want the people to be saved? If you were a good priest, did you want the people to be saved? Of course. You wanted them, but you weren't able to save them. You look around to your family members that are outside of Christ, your friends, even your enemies that are outside of Christ. Do you want them to be saved? Can you do it? You're not able, but He is able. You go to the hospital and you visit someone that is sick and you want to make them well. You want to heal them. You can't. You have no power to do so. And the Old Testament priest, no matter how much they wanted the people to be saved, no matter how much they wanted themselves to be saved, they were not able. But our high priest, notice verse 25, he is able. He is willing. I might be willing to do a lot of things for you, but I can't do them. I might want to do a lot of things for you. I might really want to save you. I want you to go to heaven. I can't do it. I'm willing. I have the desire. Christ is willing and He's able. So only Christ. You say, only Christ? Yeah. Verse 25, only those in Christ. So He is the basis of our salvation. He is the power of our salvation. Now, what's the nature of our salvation? What does that mean? Well, look again at verse 25. Those who come to God through Him. Back in verse 19, draw near to God. How can I be saved? Well, I'll try really hard. I'm going to be a better person. I am going to really study all the ideas in the whole universe on how to draw near to God. And I'm going to pick and choose some good from every one of them. No. Only if my sin is dealt with. And how's my sin going to be dealt with? Are there any sinners in the house today? How are you going to deal with that? I mean, that's pretty nasty stuff. And you're sitting by someone who says, yeah, but it's not as bad as theirs. Oh, yeah? Well, you just added to your list. It's called pride. How are you going to deal with that? How are you going to deal with the sin of your life, your past sin, your present sin? And how about the sins you're going to commit next month? Hopefully you're not planning them, but only in Christ are they dealt with. Am I delivered from my sin? He's able to deliver me. That's the nature of my salvation. He is willing and He does. And how much of my sin does He deal with? To the uttermost. All of it. Past, present, future. Have you been saved? Are you being saved? Are you going to be saved? You see, all the tenses there are taken care of. I have been saved. I am being saved. I will be saved completely to the uttermost. Let's ask some more questions about our salvation. Who are the objects of salvation? Who is it that can be saved? Everyone? I hear a lot of mumbling. That's because I don't hear well. I'm sure you had the right answers. Who can be saved? Anyone can be saved? Or is everyone going to be saved? Oh. Verse 25. Who's going to be saved? Those who draw near to God through Him. Only those who draw near to Him will be saved. But look at it this way. There's no restrictions. There's no other qualification. You don't have to be good enough to be saved. Thank God. You don't have to be tall enough to be saved. Or short enough to be saved. Or fat enough to be saved. Or skinny enough to be saved. Or smart enough to be saved. No qualifications. Those who draw near to God through Him. That's the only qualification. It's open to every person who puts their faith in Christ. Every person. Every nation, every tribe, every economic level, every color, every IQ level. Anyone who draws near to God through Him. On the other side,
Christ saves only those who come to Him in faith.
You say, well, since Christ is our high priest, well, everybody's going to heaven. All dogs go to heaven, don't they?
No.
Well, surely a loving God would not send anyone to hell. But I have friends, I have family members, they're not in Christ, but they're really good people. Surely they would, right, Shirley? They would go to heaven.
Well, it's not up to me to decide, but I tell you what God says, only those who draw near to God through Christ. Being good is not good enough. Being tall is not tall enough. Anyone can come, but only those who come in faith. He's able to save all, think of it that way, but not all will be saved because not all will trust in Him and come through Him. We quoted John 3:16. You know it well. We love that verse. Let's quote it again today. For God so loved the world. And the next verse says, those who do not believe are condemned already. You see, we love that verse. We take our shirts off and put John 3:16 on our chest and go to ball games. It's like God loves everybody. Yes, He does. But even that verse tells you, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son that whoever believes in Him. It's pretty limited, but it's open to everyone. The door is open. Ted and I saw a church one day, and it had, God has many doors on their sign. What an offense to God. How many doors are there? Now, if you come to my house or I go to your house, do you have several options on how for me to get in? You got the back door, you got the garage door, you got the front door. There's only one door to heaven, and it's in Christ. And there's another thing exciting about this verse, the security of our salvation. How secure are you in Christ? Does God want you to say every day to wonder, am I saved? Am I saved? Am I saved? Oh, I hope. No, He says He is able. The security is in Christ. And why? Because notice verse 25. He always lives to intercede. If your security was in a priest of the Old Testament, what's going to happen to that priest? He's going to die. If your security is in yourself, what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. Christ lives forever, able to intercede for you. There's the security. As trying to get, after my father's death, my father taking off their bank account. I didn't realize what a chore that is. That is a hassle. And so you have to go into the bank and you take a death certificate and you show them. And then I was trying to add my sister on the account, and that's a big hassle because she's in another state. And, oh, so I called the bank this last week and said, where are we on this? Well, your father's still on the account. No, he's not supposed to be on the account. Well, he's an inactive member. Yeah, he's inactive on the bank account. But what about getting, I need to speak to Gabby. The lady's been helping me all along. And she said, well, Gabby's no longer with us. We're going to have to start over. Christ is always with us. Christ is always there. Our security is in Christ. He lives forever, perpetually interceding for us. You're saved, but you still sin. Correct? Am I right on that? Is there anyone here who says, you know, since I've been saved, I can't think of a sin I've committed? I don't think so.
We're saved, but we still sin. But get this, our security is not, well, I got to never sin again so I can get to heaven. Our security is in Christ. When you do sin, He's interceding for you. When you're in Christ. When you're in Christ and you sin, what does He say to God the Father? He says, hey, put that on my account. They belong to me. The penalty for that sin, my sacrifice, it's already taken care of it. Great truth. Christ is the eternal Savior. What is it that qualifies Him? Well, let's go on. Verse 26, such a high priest meets our need, one who's holy, blameless, pure, and set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Not like the other high priest. He doesn't need to offer sacrifices day after day. What is it that qualifies Jesus to be the perfect high priest? Well, there in verse 26, He is sinless. He is holy. He is blameless. He is set apart. Now, we are in Christ, but we still sin. Not our high priest. When did Jesus sin? Never. Other priests had to offer sacrifices for themselves before they could even offer sacrifices for the people, but not our high priest. In verse 26 says, such a high priest. Literally that says, it is fitting. It is fitting. Why is it fitting? What qualifies Jesus to be the high priest that can do all of this? And He tells you there in verse 26, because He is holy and blameless and so on. It is necessary that if you're going to have a high priest, that's the last high priest that can meet all of your need, the need to remove your sin, that he meet certain qualifications. Verse 26 lists the qualifications. Anyone else? Anybody here today? Well, look at verse 26. That is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Anyone say, I meet that qualification? Now, in Christ, are you holy? Yes. Are you blameless in Christ? Yes. But that's not in yourself, is it? It's not your righteousness, it's His righteousness, and He meets every one of those needs. Look at them briefly. Let's just look through them. Holy. That means set apart. We are holy. We are saints, but not in ourselves. But Christ is holy in Himself. You see the difference? In Himself, He's always been holy. He always will be holy. That's why He's able to meet our what? Need. I wasn't picking on Ray when I said before communion, because we all read it that way. He meets all of our needs. Amen. Yes, He does. But that's not what He's talking about here. He's talking about your main need, your one need, to have your sins removed. Who's able to meet that need? Christ, because He's holy. He's innocent or blameless. Literally, that word means harmless. Christ injured no one. Have you ever injured, hurt anyone? That disqualifies you from being the perfect high priest. He injured no one. He always did good. Undefiled or pure. That means free from any blemish. Morally, spiritually. I mean, think of it this way. Jesus lived on our earth for 33 years. God in the flesh. Jesus Christ. Ministering to sinners. He was tempted by the full force of Satan. Unleashed power of Satan on Him. And none of it rubbed off. None of it rubbed off. He was never tainted. He was never defiled by sin. He lived in our world, but He was untouched by its blemishes. Spotless. Never was such a high priest. Only Jesus. Look at the next one. Separated from sinners. He is in a different class. Obviously, He came in contact with sinners.
He hung around with sinners. He ministered to sinners. Constant contact with sinners. His parents were sinners. His brothers were sinners. His sisters were sinners. His friends were sinners. His disciples were sinners. Everyone he met was a sinner. He ate with sinners. He taught with sinners. He traveled with sinners. He worked with sinners, worshiped with sinners, but he was completely different. Thank God. Otherwise, he couldn't be our Savior. He couldn't be the perfect sacrifice. And exalted above the heavens. Look at that one. Why was he exalted? Because of all those other things. He met every qualification. Philippians says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place. And because of those five things, holy, innocent, pure, separated from sinners, exalted to the heavens, how many sacrifices did he need to offer? One. Did he need to offer sacrifices for his own sin? No. Not like the other high priests. You know, think of it this way. Sinlessness needs no sacrifice. If you were all of those in yourself, if you were completely holy, if you were completely blameless, completely, you never harmed a person, completely pure, completely set apart from sinners, if that was you, you would not need Christ. You wouldn't need saving. But let me go out on a limb. That ain't you. That ain't me either. Only Christ meets every one of those. Christ offered one sacrifice, not for himself, but for others. The perfect sacrifice by a perfect priest. And when he was done, he was done. It was over. Eternally. For all time, to the uttermost. He did it once, and that's all that was ever needed. Check that off my list. All the others, look at verse 28. The law appoints as high priest men who are what? Weak. But the oath which came after the law appointed the Son who has been made perfect forever. How were the old priests weak? Even the best priest, even the good priest, even the priest who had a heart for God, every priest was a sinner. Every priest needed saving. So who needs salvation? Is there any limit? Who needs salvation? Yep, there is. Only sinners. Uh-oh. That's us. You've heard of the ephod that the high priest wore. Here's a picture of an ephod on a high priest. Let me describe that for you for a moment and think of our high priest. When he officiated, the Old Testament high priest wore an ephod. It was an elaborate vestment on which were two onyx stones up here, which inscribed, each inscribed with the names of six of the tribes of Israel. Attached to the ephod by gold chains was a breastplate, on which were 12 more precious stones representing, guess what? The 12 tribes. Therefore, whenever the high priest went into the presence of God, he carried with him symbolically all the tribes of Israel. The high priest symbolically wore the children of God, of Israel, to God on his heart, next to his heart, his affections, and on his shoulders, symbolizing his strength, his ability. This represented what the priesthood was to be. First, a heart for the people. And secondly, the strength, the ability to bring them to God. Many of these priests, no doubt, had a heart for the people. They loved God. They loved the people. But none of them was able to bring the people to God. They couldn't even bring themselves to God. But, ladies and gentlemen, our high priest has no weakness. Our high priest has nothing that disqualifies him. He carries our names on his heart, so to speak, and his shoulders. He is the one that is able, the ability to save. He wants to. He's the only one that can. I would like to save you. I would like to say, God, I brought these people. I saved them. I can't. I'm weak. He wants to. And he can. And he is able. Are there any sinners here today? Then come to Christ. Any Christians who still sin, stay in Christ. God, thank you for these wonderful truths from your word that Christ is our Savior, our Lord. He is able to save us completely. He's willing and he's able and he does. If we put our faith and draw near to God through him. And so we pray in his name.